Amen? Don't leave behind. For our eternal truth, we experience the kingdom when we give our hearts and lives to the King of the kingdom, who is Christ Jesus. When we humbly submit and pursue righteous life through him. And we're going to see as we go through our message this afternoon. And here's the deal I want us to grab here. You see, God has a standard of being great in the kingdom of God, which is simply obedience to the Lord, even the little things. You know, we got a saying that Sunday school lies, right? Said, no, I'm not lying. Jesus, just Sunday school lies. I don't know where that came from, but they have Sunday school lies, which is, I don't find it in the Bible. You can't get away with it. So even with a small thing, it's important. We all going to mess that up one way or the other. We all going to mess that up, and that's why Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says, for what? We all have what? Sin, and what? Fall short of the glory of God. But we thank God for his grace. We thank God for his mercy that afforded us the opportunity, even when we struggle with these laws. Amen? Amen? So quickly, I want us to look at a couple of things in our message this afternoon. The beatitude, Jesus fulfilling the law. We want to look at the fulfillment of the law, living according to these tenets in my own life. And the law brought to completion through Jesus Christ. And not only that, the fullness of the law, the duration of the law. Does the law have a time span that we can only observe it for a certain period of time? Or should we continue with the law? And another thing, obedience to the law results to greatness. And the third thing, we want to look at the force of the law. The requirements of the law to all believers. And what does it do? Does it exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes which Jesus spoke about? We want to look at that quickly. And we're going to talk on our personal application. So quickly, let us jump into our message. Living according to these tenets in my own life. In verse 17, Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You see, it is very important to understand that we are coming to a very significant section of Jesus' message when he speaks on the Beatitudes. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Gary spoke on the Beatitudes. And last Sunday, Dr. Chip spoke on the Beatitudes, and he talks about being salt and light. So this week, we are going to experience Jesus teaching about the law and what it entails. Did he came to forego the law? Did he came to abolish the law? Looking there, he said, no, don't think. Now, as we begin this message, it's interesting to find out that Jesus, as he speaks about the law, is about his relationship with the law. It's about his relationship, how it started from the Old Testament, and everything points to him coming into the New Testament. Amen? So as we begin, Jesus starts first with denial. He said, no. Let me make this clear. I did not come to change or to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them. But instead, he said, I have come to let you know that there are some moral standards that you continue to hold on to and claim that this is the law and nothing else. But in order, I have come to fulfill that these moral standards, even though, yes, they are good, that you kept from the Old Testament, is good, But that's not what I came. I didn't come to abolish it. I came to have this law fulfilled. Jesus is saying no requirement is so much greater than the external commitment on your behalf. Not at all. He said, I've come to accomplish it, to bring this to the fulfillment of my teaching. And what does the law do? And we see how Jesus brought the law to completion through himself. He said, for Christ, in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, he said, for Christ is the end of the law for what? Righteousness to everyone who believes. And as we go further, we're going to see why Jesus spoke on this issue. Because we have the Pharisees, we have the religious leaders who were strict on the law. But were they keeping the law themselves? Were they practicing the law themselves? Or was it just for show? And we're going to see that later. And as I said, you're going to bear with me because we're on our 747 jet. So what is interesting here, Jesus is not abolishing the law, the ceremonial law entirely. It is still good and right for us to read Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, even Numbers, the Old Testament. It is good. But what Jesus is saying, Jesus doesn't want you to relax the standard of God's law. He doesn't want you to relax. He came to clarify that we are called to ultimate righteous living. Not to just claim that we know the scripture, not to claim that I'm a Christian, but to know that you have to live that ultimate righteous life through Jesus Christ. And we cannot do all by ourselves, right? And that's why Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, very important. He said, all scripture, I don't know if I have it in there. Okay, yeah. He said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for an instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. Amen? And all scripture is beneficial for us. All, not some. Even the Old Testament is beneficial for us. Because the law, the prophets are binding. They are authoritative. And they are still the word of God. Now, Jesus will go on to fulfill the law of the prophets perfectly and fully. And he's the only one who could have done that. And he did it. Amen? He not only obeyed the law, he fulfilled them. He brought clarity to them. In fact, Christ was the, how we call it, cherry on the top. He was the icing on the cake. He made the law and the prophets what they were meant to be. That's what he did. And if Christ fulfills the law, which is the Holy Scripture, we as believers, we ought to strive in following the law. It should be seen in our speech, in our character, in our action, in everything that we do. And quickly, we're going to look at our second point, the fullness of the law. The fullness of the law from verse 18 to 19. And we want to look at the duration of the law, the obedience of the law, and how it results into greatness. Now, in verse 18, it says, for as surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. What is Christ saying? So this brings us to what he meant. Jesus, by variety of all things, he said, he made this strong statement. And this I consider to be the most forceful statement he makes at any point in the gospel. And he says in verse 18, as we read, he said, for truly, now, the word truly in Hebrew, it kind of means amen. That means you support it. Truly, that means it's surely, it's reliable, it's trustworthy. And as he said that, he went on to say that, for truly I say to you till heaven and what? Earth pass away. Until heavens and earth can pass away, the scripture has to be fulfilled. So there is no end until heaven and earth pass away. So that says it well that he did not come to abolish the law. He came purposely to fulfill the law. Amen? Amen? Through all human history, even preceding human history, the moral law of God is perfect authority over us. And then he says that the smallest letter, you know, the word in that little, in the Greek word is kind of like apostrophe in there. And he said, even that little word looked like the apostrophe. You know how small it is? He said, even that word would not leave, would not pass away until the law is fulfilled. So there is no part of the scripture, even from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there is none that going to pass away until the scripture is fulfilled. Now, everything has to happen through Jesus himself. Jesus has the absolute power and view and authority in enduring everything throughout time. And because of that, he says in verse 19, he turns now to criticize those who were relaxed and losing the word or losing the power of the scripture. So quickly, we're going to look at that. And he requires obedience to the law. Look what he says in verse 19 there. He says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now, who are these groups Jesus is talking about? Now, as we look in the scriptures there, Jesus was referring to the religious leaders, as we're going to look at later. But Jesus is saying that wherever you are, whatever culture you are in, or whatever culture you find yourself, the law cannot be relaxed. You cannot loosen the law to please yourself. You cannot relax on the law. No. And that's why he says that it is God's tender. Because God gave his word through men, inspired men to pin them down so that it can be a guidance to us through our Christian walk. And he says, nothing of his word going to pass away until it's fulfilled. You see, whatever Jesus is calling us is to uphold all of the law. Not some, not few, but we should hold up the law to perfection. Jesus doesn't lower God's standard of the law. No. What he's seeking is to raise up to the fullness that is required for each and every believer. And that is even you and I. And that's why God's word is meant for us. And this can only happen through Christ. This can only happen through his special grace that he has provided us. We cannot accomplish this through ourselves. It's impossible. I don't care how much you know the scripture.
It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of God to speak through his word through your life so that it can be manifested in your life. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. And he says, obedience to the law will result in the greatness in the kingdom of God. Will result in the greatness in the kingdom of God. We want to look at the force of the law. The force of the Lord. Now, it requires that a believer understands what the word of God is. It's not about ceremonial teachings. I know the scripture. I know the laws. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Yes. But it goes beyond having it been applicable in your life. And that's what we want to see. Because we have some group of men who Jesus had problems with. And Jesus knew they're going to question him. Jesus knew they're going to have different ideas. They're going to question his authority. And they use that even to have him persecuted, to have him killed when he spoke of the law. And so let us look at verse 20. He said, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was speaking to his disciples as he mentioned this, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitude. Jesus was specifically speaking to his disciples. Now, he tried to remind them. He says that unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, who are these men? Now, when we talk about the scribes, we're talking about these are professional folks who learn to put down the laws. They are there to copy the law. So, for instance, there was a job that they had to do. There was a job that they were committed to do, to know the law. And because of that, they pay keen attention as they copy the law so that they will not miss hear anything extra from the law. So that was their responsibility. They had to be thoroughly acquainted with the law because they were professionals and they also taught the laws. These were what we term as local legal scholars of the law. But when we talk about the Pharisees were a group of men, group of people. This wasn't a job, no, that you get to be hired to do, no. The Pharisees were members of an ideological movement. They put strict emphasis to ritual. They were serious about the external and formal aspect of the law. They could tell you how many letters in the book of the Bible. But yeah, it's the problem. The problem is that they missed the religious aspect of the law. And that was the big problem. And this is why Jesus tried to tell the disciples. He said, unless your righteousness succeed that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will by no means enter into the kingdom. Now, Jesus criticized them here. He said, it's not that they added to the law. No. It's not that they subtracted from the law. No. But what they did, they loosened the law. They relaxed the law. They had an attitude with the law and tried to wiggle it. That was the problem. They tried to make the law understandable to people who will not understand what they are saying through their strict standard.
They had a strict standard that needs to be followed. And in the process, they relaxed the law. It is not about ceremonial aspect of the law. It is not about tradition. It is not about culture, but the matter of the heart. And that's why the Pharisees, the scribes, they lied. It wasn't from the heart. It was to for them to display who they were, their standard, their character, who they were, religious, wear a big long robe and get out and people recognize them. But Jesus wasn't interested. God isn't interested in that. He was interested in the heart. The law being kept in the heart. When Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments, he summarized them in two commandments. Where he quoted from the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 or 5, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength." And then he went on, he quoted from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. He said, "What? You shall love your neighbor as yourself." He summed up the entire Ten Commandments. Were it being implemented in the heart? And that's why he said, "No, I didn't come to abolish the law. I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law." Because guess what? Everything from the law, from the Old Testament, points to Jesus. The prophecy points to Jesus. He came to fulfill everything that had been said from the Old Testament about him. But they didn't realize that he was the fulfillment of the law. All through the scribes, the Pharisees, they excelled in keeping the external part of the law. They were filled with doing the external part, but they failed to fulfill what God intended for the law to do. They failed to carry on everything that the law was meant for them to carry out. They failed. And as we look at it and come to close on this, how can we apply this? How can we make it applicable in our lives? And there are two strong diversion options that we can take with us. You either take one and leave the other, but it's up to you. And guess what? Either you continue with the traditional way of law observance, like the Pharisees, who pretends to know the law, who pretends to carry out the law, but they were not fulfilling the law according to how God demanded it to be. It wasn't from the heart. They were not fulfilling it from the heart. They were doing it to show who they are. And if you want to be like that, to come Sunday morning and dress up nicely and look good, then you're going to be like the Pharisees and the scribes. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He says, "None will enter the kingdom of heaven." But if you will accept the authority of Jesus, who divinely interpreted the true intention of the law. And what is the true intention of the law? The true intention of the law is to obey everything that Christ has demanded us to do. From the Old Testament, even up to the New Testament. To accept him as our Lord and Savior. He did not come to destroy or put away the law. He came to fulfill it. And through him, he went on the cross. And because of him, we have hope. And this fullness of the law was able to bring salvation to every mankind. He fulfilled the law when he went on the cross and said, "It is finished." No one else could have done that. No one else could have represented mankind to take mankind back. But God did it.
So the importance of the law, the scripture, is twofold. We out of, don't do it, by not reading the word of God. We don't do it by not fellowshipping with believers. We don't do it by not getting involved into what God wants us to do. It shouldn't be a ceremonial stuff. Your relationship to God, it shouldn't be a ceremonial, oh, today is Sunday, I got to be in church. No. Oh, today is first Sunday, I got to be there for communion. No. It should be every day living it to the fullest of how God wants it to be in your life. That's why he wants. And that's why he gave us the opportunity through grace that we are able to experience the greatness of God through his word. And God's word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the heart, except you are stubborn to God's word. But Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but I have come to fulfill it. So which side are you on? Are you going to be with the Pharisees, or are you going to be with Christ to fulfill the law? God bless you.